Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama. Rama Rama Hari Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya Girivaradari Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Jaya Girivaradari Yashoda Nandana Rajajanaranjana Yashoda Nandana Rajajanaranjana Yashoda Nandana Rajajanaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you very much, Dishana. That was wonderful. Welcome back, everyone. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. So let us offer our prayers to our Guru Parampara to seek their mercy. Om Ajnana Timirandasa Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam yena bhutale Svayam rupa kadamahiyam Tadati sa padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shita padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri rupam sagrajatam Sagana raghunatam vitam tam sajivam Sadavaitam savadhurijana sahitam Krishna chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakavitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu vyevacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavyo. Now we offer prayers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रियते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौर किशे नमः। I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other avatars, even Krishna himself, because he is bestowing freely what no one else has ever given, and that is pure love of Krishna. Krishna Varnam Ta Krishnam Sanga Panga Astra Parshadam Yagnahi Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hissu Netasaha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companion, Sa Anga Upanga Astra. जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद ओ गोष्ठ चैतन्य ओ गोष्ठ नित्यानंद ओ गोष्ठ अद्वैत चंद्र ओ गोष्ठ ऑल द डिवोटीज ऑफ लॉर्ड चैतन्य। नाउ वी ऑफर टू द सिक्स गोस्वामी ऑफ वृंदावन। नाना शास्त्र विचार नैक निपुण षड धर्म संस्थापक लोकानां हितकारिणौ मान्यौ शरण्याकरौ राधा कृष्ण पदारविन्द भजना आनन्देन महत्तालिकौ वन्दे रूप सनातन रघुयुगौ श्री जीव गोपालकौ। ट्रांसलेशन। I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatt Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus, they are honored all over the three worlds, worth taking shelter of, because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Radha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय श्री प्रभुपाद। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरों चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयत् नष्ट प्रायेश्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्ति भवती नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। जय श्री प्रभुपाद। जय श्री भगवत्पाद। वेलकम बैक एवरीवन। लेट मी टर्न द कैमरा हियर। Again, please accept humble obeisances, all Krishna Srila Prabhupada. Welcome back. So I hope everything goes all right today. Let us briefly recap what we covered last week. We saw in the Anuchedas or sessions, Sri Vijaya Goswami making Anucheda number 13, 14 and 15, the bottom line we were saying is that he is glorifying the Puranas. That first he described previously, the Vedas, they are the Apaurusha Pramana. Apaurusha Shabda Pramana. That means these are the Vedic scriptural sound vibrations, and they are of divine origin, not of human four defects. And then he is saying that Puranas and Itihas are also part of the Vedas. So they are also Apaurusha Shabda Pramana. But the Vedas have difficulties, as we saw earlier. They are many difficulties we went through that. So those difficulties are not there in Puranas. And Vedas are very, very difficult to understand because they are in the Vedic Sanskrit. Whereas the people in Kali Yuga, they do not understand. So it's Lokic Sanskrit language is used in the Puranas and Itihas. And Shri Vyasadeva compiled it all Vedas. First, there was one Veda, Yajur Veda. He divided into four Vedas. Shri Jiva Goswami shows us that the origin of the Vedas and the Puranas are the same, actually. Lord Narayana, Supreme Personality of Godhead, first transmitted that knowledge to Lord Brahma within his heart. And then Lord Brahma emanated his four Vedas from his mouth, four mouths. And then also he emanated Vedas, Puranas and Itihas also. So they are part of the Vedas. Not only that, they don't have the difficulties because Vedas and Puranas are the much more simplified versions Srila Vyasadeva compiled. What he did actually condensed. Originally, after the Yajur Veda was divided into four Vedas, after that, there were 1 billion verses were still remaining. And that's day in Brahma Loka, Satya Loka, the higher planetary systems. So for this world, condensed those 1 billion verses into 500,000 verses. And 400,000 verses that he further divided into these 18 Puranas. And remaining 100 verses, he compiled Mahabharata, the Itihas. So that's why his name is Vyasa. Vyasa means who compiles, who edits. So editing involves both the condensation as well as the divisions. So that is what he did that. So that the people of Kali Yuga, we are less intelligent, so they would be able to understand properly, easily. So that's what he did. So then Srila Jiva Goswami refers that not only Puranas and Itihas are part of the Vedas, everything was first Yajur Veda, you know. And then he said that, in fact, that is a fifth Veda. To make a distinction, it does not have the problems of the Vedas. You know? So to make it easily understandable. And so that is what basically, that was the highlight of the last week's class, actually. And in fact, so Puranas and Itihas are very, very simple. And same knowledge that is given in the four Vedas, that is explained in the Puranas and Itihas. So he's continuing that theme, actually, and showing further glorification of the Puranas, and he's strengthening his conclusion that Puranas and Itihas is the way to go about to understand the Vedic truth. Now, before going further, I thought we would also go through some of the questions that many of you sent me by email. And just today, this afternoon, sent the answers to all the questions and shared with the entire group, actually. So I'll just go one by one quickly. The question one was about slide 5 in the last class, that why were the demigods addressed as immortal was it just a conventional blessing? No. Actually, the lifespan of the demigods relative to the humans on this earthly planet is so long, virtually that is. They are considered like immortal, like for instance, years. So several hundred million years they live. In fact, Lord Brahma, who is the head of all the demigods, that is, he lives 311 trillion years, 40 billion years. So compared to human, maximum of lifespan is about 100 years. Is compared to that is nothing. So in that regard, demigods are considered immortal, but it's a relative term. Then about the scholars from Mimamsa, Purva Mimamsa and Uttar Mimamsa. Uttar Mimamsa is the Vedanta Sutra, Vedanta. Now, those scholars claiming Puranic text adulterated. Adulterated means it is the modified, added, and so on like that. So why is it problem not applicable to Vedas, Brahma Sutras, and Upanishads? Because these are the part of the Shrutis, and Shrutis remain unchanged, nation. So that's why all Vedas, Upanishads, and so on, Vedanta, all this thing being part of Shruti, they remain unchanged. Only the Puranas keep changing. We'll be discussing a lot more about all these things today in today's class. Third question, looks like according to Jiva Goswami, Itihas should be considered equally prominent scriptures. In verses 1, 4, 25, 3, 5, 12 indicate that Mahabharata is for less intelligent. Srila Prabhupada often said Mahabharata is for less intelligent. How do we reconcile these apparently contradictory statements? Actually, Prabhuji, there is no contradiction. It's just apparent because all Puranas, Itihas are designed by Srila Vyasadeva to be easily understood for the less intelligent people like us in Kali Yuga. They're all like that because of our very short lifespan, relatively speaking, and always, Alpa Ayu, Mandabhagya. We are very unfortunate and we are Upadrava, always disturbed. Because of that, Purana and Itihas are made simple. Same knowledge of easily understandable way Srila Vyasadeva did for us. The fourth one was, is Chatushloki Bhagavatam cement summary of Srimad Bhagavatam? Yes, these are the seed verses from which the 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam got expanded. And this Chatushloki Bhagavatam was the actual one, Krishna transmitted into the heart of the Lord Brahma. Fifth question, quotation from Suta Goswami in Vayu Purana showing there has divided the Vedas. But we see in Srimad Bhagavatam that the four Vedas emerge from the mouths of Brahma. How do we reconcile that? I remember, I think this question was asked by Sanjay Krishna Chandra Prabhu also. At the time, I just could not remember, but it was definitely covered in the books, So I went through that. So it turns out, sir, while it is true that each Vedas individually emanated from the Supreme Lord, and later from the four mouths of Brahmaji, so all four Vedas were collectively called the Yajurveda. So that's what everything, entire Vedic knowledge was this Yajurveda, and that emanated from Lord Brahma. It was all four Vedas and everything, and Puran Itihas, they were all emanated from Brahma one by one actually, but they are all compiled, so they were put as Yajurveda. So because it is the largest portion of all the three, Yajurveda. So generally, the largest number of a set can represent the whole set, that is by convention. So it's just the example is given in the book by Gopi Parandhan Prabhu, that when you have a herd of cows with a very few buffaloes in it, so when you talk, the herd is coming, you're saying herd of the cows coming. You don't specify just for few, because of few buffaloes. By and large, the herd was composed of all the cows. So that's why you do that. Another simple example is given these fingers. We have four fingers and thumb, but you refer to as five fingers. You know, you don't specify the thumb actually. You know, so that is the sort of convention by which. So even though Vedas, the four Vedas, Upanishad, everything was transmitted, everything was emanated, everything emanate from Lord Brahma. But they are, the whole group is called Yajur Vedas, one Veda. Question number six, quotation from Matsya Purana. Every Dwapar Yuga, Vyasadeva divide the Puranas. But we quote from Skanda Purana that all the 18 Puranas listed below came from the mouth of Brahma. How do we reconcile? I think it's pretty much similar question. So Vyasadeva condensed and divide the original 1 billion verse. So everything came from Lord Brahma's mouth. Okay? Huge, so large. So Vyasadeva, when he compiled what he did, he divided one Veda into four Vedas. So after the division of the Vedas, four Vedas, there still remain 1 billion verses. So out of that 1 billion verses, they further condense into 500,000 verses, so 400,000 for the that he divided into 18 Puranas, and 100,000 verses for the Mahabharata. So that is what he did. That so there is no real conflict, just an apparent conflict. Question seven: if Puranas are eternal, how come it describes the story that happened recently? Will people in the future yugas also study the same events that happen in this Dwapar Yuga, or these events eternally taking place? And if so, will the details change in every time this happens? So how these details will be described? So my answer is this: although Puranas are indeed eternal and apaurusha, means not of human origin, so remember, Vyasadeva did not actually write, did not compose. All he did, he just compiled, he edited. Everything, all this information came from the Supreme Lord originally, through Lord Brahma then. You know. So they are eternal Purusha. There was some spurious additions subsequently during the ages, you know. And many of the verses from Puranas also got lost as time progressed. Originally, as I told you, that in the Brahma Loka, much more detailed, expanded version is there actually. So, so this is what happened over the progression of the ages. Many of the verses in the original Puranas were lost, and some were added spuriously. Later in certain Puranas. And this is one of the difficulties that we will discuss in today's class also, actually. And this is the difficulty within the Puranas that Jiva Goswami, he alludes into his Aluchedas 17-18 that we'll be discussing today in Lesson 5. So that happened. And later on, I'll share with you already, that's how even among the Puranas, Jiva Goswami proposes Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the one that remained unchanged. All 18,000 verses were there, and still, even today, all 18,000 verses remain there. So last question. In Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 7, text 8, defines that Vyasadeva revised Bhagavat and taught it to his son Sukadeva Goswami. But again, we see events such as Sukadeva Goswami speaking Parikshit Maharaj in Bhagavatam. Did Vyasa teach these events, Srila Sukha speaking to Parikshit, to Srila Sukha before that has happened or what? You know? Remember, Bhagavatam was compiled towards the end of Dwapara Yuga, before Kali Yuga began, where Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj some more than 200 years later, actually, to Parikshit Maharaj. So it turns out everything that was already happened and everything that is yet to happen, even in the future, everything was revealed to Srila Vyasadeva in his samadhi, in his trance. So he could foresee what's going to take place. And that's how he wrote all these verses where Sukadeva Goswami later speaks to Parikshit Maharaj, and Parikshit Maharaj asking question. Everything was revealed. So future was revealed to Srila Vyasadeva. So that is what the about eight questions were there. And some of the questions will be continuing the answers in today's class also. So now we begin text 16, 17 and 18. And what you see in this first PowerPoint is the broad outline, highlights of these three verses. So lesson 5, actually the is titled Distinctive Illumination of Srila Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. Now let me make it clear again. Vyasa, name Vyasa is not a name actually. It is a position. Vyasa means the person who divides, condenses. So in other words, he edits the original Vedic knowledge. So that is so Vyasa is a position actually. And in every millennium of the Manvantara, like at the Dwapara Yuga, a person comes Vyasa and he divides. But in the 28th millennium, that's the current millennium of the present Manu, Vaivas Manu, is this name Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. Krishna means he had a dark complexion. He has dark complexion. By the way, Vyasadeva is one of the seven Chiranjeevs, one of the seven eternally living persons. Eternal, again, it's a relative term, of course, because the material world manifests and unmanifest. So during the duration of this this particular Brahma, Lord Brahma's Kalpa, he is living. Even today also he is living in the Himalayas. So in the 28th millennium, Sudha is a special distinctive illumination. He reveals is very unique. And that is spelled out in this first, this text 16 that we'll talk about. So there's a unique authority of this 28th Vyasa in the present Manvantara, that is Vaivasvata Manu, that we are living now. The first Krishna came in Dwapara Yuga. And then Vyasa divided toward the end of Dwapara Yuga, like it happens every this millennium of four yugas. So here in this first verse we a statement, an attestment by Vyasa's own father, whose name is Parasar Muni, and he himself was Vyasa actually. In 26th millennium, and he describes that and he shows that why this current Vyasa is so special. He is the only Vyasa, is the incarnation, is the empowered incarnation of Lord Narayana. So this sort of modifies that statement that I give in lesson 4 PowerPoints. That was the understanding we had about this Vyasas. Every millennium they were empowered incarnation of Lord Narayana. No, it's not true. In this 16th section, Jiva Goswami makes it very clear, as we'll read the actual Anucheda. There are subsections, of course, 16.1, 2, 3, 4, where Vyasa, the Parasar Muni makes it very clear. It's only the 28th Vyasa, the current Vyasa, is the one who is empowered incarnation of Lord Narayana. So we'll have to modify that statement in last week's PowerPoint. So that is the upshot of text 16 that we will hear. And then 17, just as the Vedas have difficulties, and that is why Srila Jiva Goswami proposes that we should consider Puranas and Itihas, because they are part of the Vedas. They are also Shabda Pramana, Apaurushaya. It's of divine origin, not of human origin, not with the human four defects, and yet they don't have difficulties. Now we are going to hear that they have their own difficulties even among the Puranas, because there is a hierarchy. These 18 Puranas are divided into three piles equally. Six Puranas composed of six Puranas. And they are in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. Sattvaguna, Rajaguna, Tamoguna. So because of that, there is a hierarchy. And what are the difficulties? And again, one of the difficulties that we already discussed in the question and answer period, that many of the Puranas, a substantial portion got lost over the ages. And moreover, some additions took place, spurious additions took place. So that's the difficulty also we need to consider. So Jiva Goswami considers even that also. And that's how he's going to recommend Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. So text 18 that we'll discuss toward the end, that Srimad Bhagavatam fulfills all the criteria of authority. Perfectly, it fits the bill. And that's what he proposes. And that ultimately, that we can understand, with authority, the ultimate truth, the absolute truth. So that's the highlight of it, the upshot of all these three verses that I give up front. Now we'll go one by one. So we'll go text 16. So what I found really compared to the last week class, these three verses, it's, we cannot call strictly verses because they are in the prose form. These anuchedas, sections, and there are subsections within it. They are, these three ones, 16, 17, 18, are relatively quite simple and straightforward, you know. So we'll go by one by one. So next PowerPoint. PowerPoint number two. So we'll read the verses now. I'm going to read of them because they are pretty long. So I would rather discuss the highlights, summary points, rather than reading a few verses. But let me read a few of them at least, depending upon how much time we have. So text 16, Srila Jiva Goswami quotes this Purana, Skanda Purana. Skanda Purana states that just as a person picks up things in his own house and uses them, many people have taken knowledge from the sky of Vyasa's heart for their own use. We find a similar statement in Vishnu Purana, where the sage Parasara says, thereafter, during the 28th Manvantara, the Lord in the form of my son Vyasa took one Veda consisting of four sections and divided it into four separate parts, just as this intelligent Vyasa divided the Veda. Previously, all other Vyasa, including myself, also divided it, also did the same thing. So what is so special about this Vyasa, his son? So that's what he's saying, that, oh, based on the twice born, understand that every cycle of four yugas, Vyasas come and arrange the Vedas into the various branches. So this happens every millennium, okay? But now, oh, Maitreya, so here, this another typo is in my PowerPoint. Actually, Shiprasa Muni is the teacher of Maitreya Muni, not the other way around. You know. So he is telling to Maitreya Muni, but now, oh, Maitreya, that Sri Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa is Lord Narayana himself. So that's his son. So Vyasa is, as I told you, is a position. His name is Krishna Dvaipayana. Krishna means he has a dark complexion. And Dvaipayana Dvipa. So he was born in an island in a river. I think it's Ganga or Yamuna. Ganga, I think. Ganga or Yamuna, I don't remember now. So he was born there when Parasar Muni meets this young girl, Vyasadeva's mother, Satyavati. Before she got married later, before she got married to Shantanu Maharaj, you know, King Shantanu. So when she was hardly 14 years old maybe, that time Parasar Muni meets her in that. And Parasar Muni, because of his intense knowledge, enlightenment, he knew this is the right, perfect time this great Vyasa would be coming, and there Lord Narayana himself would be descending in the form of his son. So that's why he proposes and he impregnates Satyavati. And then, of course, in Mahabharata is explained in great detail, actually, wonderful, wonderful part of that, how this 12-14-year-old girl, you know, very nicely argues with Vyasa, how can I, you know, associate with you in that way without getting married? What Parasar Muni was saying, not even married, just that instant. And he says, it's a broad daylight. So Parasar Muni, by his yoga maya, he covered the thick clouds and all this thing happened, you know. So just for the purpose of bringing this Vyasa. So that's how Vyasa was born in that little island, in that river. So that is subsection 1 and 2 of main section 16. 3 and 4. So in this section, he is showing what is so special about this particular Vyasa, 28th Vyasa. And it's coming from this great authority, Parasar Muni himself. So now we are saying that more. This is section 3 and 4, subsections. The Skanda Purana further states, Sakya Yuga, the knowledge that... So now, usually what happens during the progression of Sakya Yuga, all the way going to... progressively, the knowledge gets contaminated, you know, and deterioration takes place. So in Sakya Yuga, the knowledge that emanated from Lord Narayana remained pure, but it became somewhat polluted in Treta Yuga and completely so in Dwapara Yuga, and worse, of course, happening in Kali Yuga, in the complete destroyed. So that happens, deterioration of the knowledge. But even more than that, in this particular Yuga, this particular millennium, what happened, there was a curse, Gautam Rishi, to Brahmana community in general. And we will discuss about what Baladeva Vidya Bhushan cites this particular story from Puranas. So let me read that. It became somewhat polluted in Treta Yuga and completely so in Dwapara Yuga. When ignorance had covered that knowledge because of Gautam Rishi's curse, so the demigods became perplexed, led by Lord Brahma and Shri. When there is a problem develops in the universe, the demigods approach Lord Brahma. So most of the time Lord Brahma resolves the problem. But when even Lord Brahma cannot resolve, then he takes the demigods and along with Lord Shiva, they approach Lord Narayana. Actually, this is one of the Krishna. This is the in the what is called Shirodakshaya Vishnu. Yeah. So this is what they approach, you know, and they explain. So on the request of the demigods, Lord Hari then descended as the great yogi Vyasa. So that is where they explained this, because of Gautam Rishi's curse, the Vedic knowledge became completely polluted, lost because of his curse. So in addition to what normally that happens in the progression of the different yugas, that happens, but that got accelerated because of the Gautam Rishi's curse. So that's why they requested, Lord Brahma requested on behalf of the demigods to Lord Narayana. So Lord Narayana agreed, himself descend and invest in the form of, invest his potencies in the form of this 28th Vyasa. So that is the speciality of son of Satyavati and Parasara, and re-establish the forgotten Vedas. Here the word Veda also indicates Itihas and Puranas, so both. So Veda is never alone. The Itihas and Puranas always part of that. You know? So Jiva Goswami keep on emphasizing that again and again. Thus it is established that studying the Itihas and Purana is supremely beneficial. So now in this verse also, in this section also, we see further glorification of the Puranas and Itihas. Much more than even the Vedas, the four Vedas, much more than that. That doesn't mean that the Vedas are not complete. They were, but for the people in the age of Kali, the Kali Yuga, because of the less intelligence, we cannot properly understand the Vedas. And that is why Itihas and Puranas were there right from beginning. So that is what Vyas Muni did that. So thus it is established that studying the Itihas and Puranas is supremely beneficial. And of these two, the Puranas are more excellent. As stated in the Naradiya Purana, O lovely one, I consider the Puranas more important than the Vedas. Because so here Lord Shiva reveals this to Mother Parvati. You know? Because the Puranas firmly establish all the Vedic meanings. There is no doubt of this. One who disrespects the... So now there is a warning to the certain Brahmana communities, some community that are so fond of studying all the Vedas and they disregard the Puranas. They consider the Puranas, since it is meant for the less intelligent people, they sort of denigrate that, you know. And here, Lord Shiva warns those people who disrespect Puranas. They will take birth as subhuman. Even if he can expertly control his senses and mind, he can attain no good destination. So here are the some salient points of this section 16. Subsection. There are four subsections are there. So here, these points I'm taking, as I told you that I prepared my PowerPoint from several book condensed, and also I refer to the course that I took some 20 years back. By Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj, and he, in fact, he has this his notes on the internet, you know, and I have given that link also in my very first introductory class. So from that, I have taken this some salient points of different verses. Then I combine with my different readings, you know. So here. There are two points that are mentioned, as I told you, in text 16. First, what is so special of this 28th Vyasa? And how, in what way, Puranas are superior to even Vedas. So how to appreciate the value of the Puranas? One can assess the value of it depending upon who made it. Just like book, you know, any book, how can you tell? Just looking at the author, who is the author, you know, an author's reputation. So here also like that. So the 28th Vyasa being more qualified than other Vyasas in the present Vaivasvata Manu. Therefore, the amazing mind of Sri Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, that's why the analogy is given, is like the infinite sky, is all accommodating. Sky has everything, you know, in the... all the luminous bodies, planets and so on, like stars and so on, like that. So Vyasa is complete in knowledge. You know? So is the mind of Vedvyasa, encompasses everything there is to follow. Because he is Lord Narayana himself, unlike other Vyasas, other 27 before, you know. So that is a very important point. I learned it myself, actually. You know? And that is very clearly, authentically, authoritatively put by Parasara Muni here in this verse. So that is the evidence. So attested by his father Parasara Muni, who himself was the 26th Vyasa. So Vyasas are not ordinary people, they are very highly intelligent people. Nonetheless, this 28th Vyasa is especially very significant because here Lord himself came. So Lord, he is the reservoir of all that knowledge exists, you know. So complete knowledge is there. That's why the analogy of sky is given. Why did Lord Narayana descend in this particular Vyasa That is also explained because of the Gautam Rupi's curse. Already because of the progression of the yugas, the deterioration, progressive deterioration takes place. But above all that deterioration, further acceleration of this contamination took place because of Gautam Rishi's curse. And here, Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushanam, he quotes this verse, you know, from chapter 171 of Varaha Purana. So that's the story is written actually. So what happened, Gautam Rishi, he had obtained a boon, benediction for Lord Brahma, that even whenever the famine, there's a lack of rain, occurs on the planet Earth, his land should be always protected. Because he knew that would happen, you know, Gautam Rishi. And Lord Brahma was pleased by his austerities, and he gave him that benediction. So what happened when famine, very terrible famine did occur, lack of rain, for a long period of time, you know. So his field, grains were growing like anything, you know. But the so all the brahmanas elsewhere in the planet Earth, they came and they took shelter from Rishi's ashrama, and he accommodated all of them and fed them sumptuously. But what happened when the famine ended, when the rains returned, these brahmanas wanted to go back. So he's, you know, but generally what host does that, no, please stay a few more days, then you can go. So they, you know, they respected that. So they remained a few months more. But every time they repeated their request to return back to their homes, Gautam Rishi, you know, kept on insisting that they should stay, you know. So finally, they got really fed up with that. So they did a very, you know, devious thing. So they could not openly disrespect Gautam Rishi. So what they did, they prepared a fake cow made of dry grass, and left that fake cow in the front of Gautam Rishi's ashrama, you know, door. So early morning when Gautam Rishi went out for doing his daily krama, he bumped into this cow, fake cow made of this dry grass. So of course, you know, when he saw something, some obstructions there, so from his kamandala, from his water parts, he threw some few drops of water. And of course, that dry grass cow, they disintegrated, you know. So immediately the brahmanas came forward and they said that, oh, you killed the cow, you know. And great sin has been committed, and we can no longer stay with you, you know. We cannot, can no longer eat grains, you know, food from you, obviously. And they left. So Gautam Rishi, of course, being a great Rishi, he immediately performed all the atonement, Vedic, you know, process to atone for his crime, for his sins. But because of his great transcendental knowledge, and great mystic power, he could immediately find out the charade the brahmanas had played. So he then promised that from now onwards you'll be bereft of all Vedic knowledge. So since then, brahmanas were affected, the entire brahmana community were affected. So that is the reason why demigods approached Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma took along with Lord Shiva and went and requested, you know, appealed to Lord Narayana, and Lord Narayana then, because of that, he appeared in the form of 28 to replenish that knowledge, actually. Yeah? So that's the story that's given in the text 16. All right, so moving on. So here, PowerPoint number 5. Read. So previously it was established that the Puranas and Itihas are Vedic. Now Lord Shiva tells Parvati, so now this is a glorification of the Puranas. And this is given none other than by Lord Shiva himself. And he's speaking to Mata Parvati. That the Puranas are more important than the Vedas. Same Apurusheya authority as the Vedas, and faithfully explains the Vedas. thus revealing the higher purpose of life, you know. So whatever given in the Vedas, which cannot be understood properly by the people, less intelligent people in this age of Kali, there is a reason Puranas are there. So in that sense, Puranas are much superior to the four Vedas. That's what he's pointing out, you know. That, of course, doesn't mean that Vedas are less important, but we cannot understand because of our lack of intelligence and lack of this qualified Brahmanas in this age of Kali. So without Vedas, without Puranas are incomplete. Whereas the Puranas are complete by themselves because it explains the four Vedas in an easily understandable manner. See that? So if you study the Vedas, four Vedas alone, it's not enough, especially for us in the age of Kali. And that's no wonder then the Lord, anticipating that, he right from the beginning, at the very beginning of creation, he not only gave the four Vedas, but he also gave the Puranas and the Itihas. Everything he gave right from the beginning, you know. So he says that in this age of Kali, especially Vedas is not complete without the Puranas. But Puranas themselves is complete. Because the very name, this Purana, actually it is spelled out, Purana. Purana means complete. So Purana by definition is complete Vedic knowledge, you know, for us, especially in the age of Kali. So some people do study the four Vedas. Even this day also, many Brahmanas highly, you know, they become puffed up knowledge and they think there are some Vedic scholars, especially Rigvedic scholars, some Vedic scholars and so on, like that. Even today they claim and they disregard the Puranas. And since they say Purana is for the less intelligent people, we are very intelligent people, so we don't study Puranas. So they denigrate that. So here Lord Shiva actually warns them and says that. And in fact, he warns them, you know. Some people do study the four Vedas but neglect the Puranas. Do not become spirit, they are not going to be spiritually advanced. Present day followers of, and that's what we see in today also, and that's mentioned by Gopal Purandan Prabhu's book actually. Even today, and we have this in Washington area, there's a, it's called followers of Arya Samaj. Arya Samaj, you know, the proponents of Arya Samaj, they traditionally disregard the Puranas. So they gather in people's houses and they perform Vedic havans, you know, Vedic fire sacrifices, pronounce Vedic mantras. And they say that it's disregard the Puranas. And of course, the motive behind that is all for material enjoyment, you know. Or the fruitive activities. So they end up limited to following Vedic rituals like havans or the fire sacrifices with material enjoyment motives. Okay. So the PowerPoint number 6 now. So now there's a further mention about this Skanda Purana in the Prabhas Khanda that states, best of the twice born, I consider the meaning of the Puranas to be as well established as that of the Vedas. So again, that theme is continuing, that Puranas are superior to even the Vedas. Okay. So without doubt, all the Vedas are given a firm foundation in them. Please listen very carefully. Once long ago, the Vedas become afraid. So in fact, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto towards the very end, there's a chapter, Vedas are not impersonal. In fact, they are personified Vedas and they offer prayers to the Lord also, you know. So here, that is what is mentioned. Without doubt, all the Vedas are given a firm foundation in them. Once long ago, the Vedas became afraid of those who might hear from her insufficiently. And she thought, she means that Vedas personified, Vedmata, you know. This sort of person will distort my meaning. Then the Itihas and Puranas help the Vedas firmly establishing her meaning. What cannot be found in the Vedas is found in the Smriti. Smriti is Itihas and Purana. as against Shruti. Shruti is Vedas and Upanishads. A person is not considered learned if he does not know the Puranas. See that? All learned Brahmanas, even if he has studied the four Vedas, along with the Vedangas and Upanishad that we explained last week, Vedangas are the four limbs of the Vedas, you know. In the commentary to Anuchcheda 10, the Vedas are referred to as mother in the classic context of the need to ask the mother about the identity of the father. See that? So when someone wants to know who is my father, the best authority is of course mother. Mother would know that, you know. So Prabhupada used to term Veda Mata in his context often. Also in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 22, text 6, we have Shruti Mata, in which the Vedas are directly called mother. So do I have to worry about changing the Vedas to feminine here? What about the grammar? What about wish to have a masculine? So again, it's just glorifying the Puranas. Puranas by themselves are complete without, you know, you don't need to study Vedas. Puranas explain that Veda properly. But Vedas alone is not complete without Puranas. Next, we must consider the following doubt concerning the status of the Puranas. Although their authority has thus been established in the previous text, still it is difficult for the less intelligent men of our age to comprehend their ultimate meaning. So again, Jiva Goswami is elaborating why the Puranas are superior to Vedas, especially relevant to the people of this age, you know. So reason for this difficulty are that the Puranas, the Vedas are only partially available. So now we are also going to learn about, just as the Vedas have difficulties, that's why he's recommending Puranas. The Puranas are also not completely free from the difficulty. They have their own difficulties. So he's alluding to that now. As stated in Matsya Purana, history is called Purana. If it has, so now he's defining what the Puranas are meant. So according to Matsya Purana, there are five basic characteristics of any Purana. And Mahapurana has 10 characteristics, as we'll see for the Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise it's called Akhyana. In Sattvic Purana, so Puranas are now further classified according to the modes of material nature, you know. There's 80 Puranas divided into three piles, three particular groups, each group consisting of six Puranas. And six Puranas are made in the form of Sattva Guna, that embodies that particular Guna. Other six are in the mode of passion, and the other six is in the mode of ignorance. Sattvic Puranas primarily glorify Lord Hari, Rajasic Puranas, and the Tamasic Puranas, Lord Shiva and Durga. That's amazing, actually. Same Sutta Goswami is narrating all these 18 Mahapuranas to those 88,000 sages in Naimisharanya, you know. And same group of sages, but remember this 88,000 sages, they themselves composed of different, they are not of the same class, actually. They represent the entire human society. Some are in the mode of passion, some are in the mode of ignorance, some are in the mode of goodness. So these are compiled with that kind of people in the mind, actually, you know. Look, Shiva and Durga, the Puranas in mixed mode of glorify Saraswati. Here the word Agni refers to the Vedic sacrifices performed by making offerings into Vedic sacred fires. The word Cha in the phrase Sivasya implies the wife of Lord Shiva. Okay, I'll skip through that and straight go to the Vaisalyan points. So next PowerPoint, Prabhuji. It's PowerPoint number 8. So in Kali Yuga, it is impossible to correctly understand the Vedas without accepting the Puranic authority. So this is the statement that we all must remember, why Puranas are considered superior to Vedas, especially for this. This does not denigrate, does not mean Vedas are inferior in any way at all. But just because we don't have necessary intelligence, necessary Brahma scholarly, Brahma is known in these ages, that's why we cannot understand properly. That's why the Puranas were introduced by the Lord Himself right from the very beginning. So in Kali Yuga, it is impossible to correctly understand the Vedas without accepting the Puranic authority. The message of the Purana is Kali Vamsha Purana statement. And some 600 years ago, Sridhar Swami, who is the pioneering commentator of the Srimad Bhagavatam and so on, like that, and also the Vishnu Purana. All 18 Mahapuranas were spoken by Sutta to the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shravanaka Rishi, who accepted the sages' authorities. They all accepted Sutta Goswami. And Sutta Goswami, because of his mixed race, he was, remember, we discussed in the last class, he is not supposed to have studied Vedas, although he's fully knowledgeable in all the Puranas, you know. So Shravanaka Rishi actually glorifies Sutta Goswami, that you are the knower of everything that is to be known in the Puranas, you know, except the Vedas. And yet, he speaks about Srimad Bhagavatam also, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the Vedic knowledge, you know, the supreme knowledge. It's all about the Supreme Lord. So, however, just as there are difficulties in studying the Vedas in this age, the Puranas are also not without difficulties. So now Jiva Goswami is going to point out, is pointing out the limitations of us also. What are those limitations? You know? There's a hierarchy among the Puranas. As I just mentioned, that there are three groups of Puranas, each six Puranas, each group. They are in the, according to the modes of material nature that they embody. And the authority is Matsya Purana. That's where it's stated there. So there are five defining characteristics that will I just spelled out at the point. So Lord Shiva specifies these three divisions, each with a set of six Puranas, based on the three modes of material nature that they embody. And that's from Padma Purana, he quotes. Portion of certain Puranas are not only missing, but are found with spurious substitutes. So remember one of the questions that was asked? So that is the one of the limitations. So there are two limitations. Hierarchy, because the modes of material nature, and it is not complete. Many of the Puranas are still not complete, you know. Okay, so the next PowerPoint number 9. So what are the five defining characteristics of the Purana? How Puranas are defined? It should have these five different characteristics. First, it should have the information about the creation. All Puranas must have that. Creation, how the creation came about, and how it is going to be destroyed, dissolution. And third, genealogy. Genealogy means all the Manus, they come. There are 14 Manus in each day of Lord Brahma. And how Manus appoint kings for the transmission, propagation of the Vedic knowledge to be understood for that Yugas. And fourth, the Manus, the reign of the Manus. Srimad Bhagavatam talks about beginning with the Swayambhu, the first Manu, in the very beginning of creation, and so on like that. So now we live in the age of seventh Manu, Manvantara. Each Manu lives for 71 millenniums, 71 Chatur Yugas. So currently we are in the 28th, 71 minus 28, that are still in balance. So this Manu would live still long. So altogether Manu is approximately 330 million years. And the fifth and the final is that this is at the very minimum. Each Purana must have this minimum five characteristics. Mahapuranas have characteristics. We will study when we come to Srimad Bhagavatam. And the fifth characteristic is the activities of illustrious kings. So each Manu appoints different kings. So their genealogy and their pastimes and their reign, that also must discuss each Puranas. You know? And the enlightened sages, and then of course the sages, the Saptarshis, the seven sages who come and all this, that also, it must have information on that. Appearing with great dynasties. Okay? So now text 10, that's in a tabular form, I summarize the division of the 18 Puranas into spells of three groups, each of consisting of six Puranas equally, you know, based on the which modes of material nature they embody. So here, you see that the sets of six Puranas based on the gunas and which particular supreme deity that they recommend worshipping. So that is again another confusion, another limitation. You know. So there is Sattva Guna, that's more of goodness, then Raja Guna, more of passion. So Sattva Guna talks about Lord Vishnu being the supreme deity, right? In Sattva Guna. In Raja Guna, those Puranas, they talk about Lord Brahma being the supreme, believe it or not. And Tamoguna, Shiva Purana is Tamoguna, you know. Rajoguna means Brahmanda Purana, Brahma Purana, and so on like that. So in Shiva Purana, in such Puranas which are in the mode of ignorance, there's Lord Shiva being supreme or Durga Devi, you know, like Devi Bhagavata and so on like that, you know. One of my friends who is a worshipper of Devi, Durga Devi, he constantly argues with me actually. So they, you know, each of these Puranas, we will see, the proponents of each of these Puranas definitely argue that their Purana is supreme and why that particular supreme God they consider God or Vishnu, either they consider Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva and so on like that. But remember, the verse itself, Jiva Goswami says, and he quotes the verse from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, only in Sattva Guna, in mode of goodness, you come to know about real knowledge. Luminosity, one's mind becomes enlightened, you know, completely, is it like completely, flash of light happens, you know. And there's lasting happiness. Sattvam Sanjayatam, Sattvam Yad Brahma Darshanam. So only through Sattva Guna, you get real knowledge. Only through Sattva Guna, you get self-realization. So in Sattva Guna, what are the Puranas? Vishnu Purana, Narada Purana, Bhagavat Purana, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, Garuda Purana, and Varaha Purana. These six Puranas are in the mode of goodness. So that's why it's recommended. That's what Jiva Goswami is going to make the case for that. Then the Brahmanda Purana, Brahma Purana, Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Markandeya Purana, Bhavishya Purana, Vamana Purana, and Brahma Purana, it is in the mode of Rajaguna. And there it's dynamism, material hankering, greed, and so on like that. That is much more pronounced, you know. And then six Puranas in the mode of ignorance. Matsya Purana, Kurma Purana, Linga Purana, Shiva Purana, Skanda Purana and Agni Purana and so on like that. So that mode of negligence and mode of ignorance, that means negligence, delusion, inertia and so on like that, that is characterized by that. So this, because the hierarchy, that is the problem with the Puranas. That's Jiva Goswami is pointing out that. So this being the case, the Puranas, so now the final verse 18, text 18 now. So now Jiva Goswami is going to make his alternatives, you know, propose some alternatives. So some people might suggest, why not study the Vedanta Sutra as we talked about in the last week's class, you know, because Vedanta Sutra is the summary given by Srila Vyasadeva himself, who compiled the Vedas and who compiled all the 18 Mahapuranas also, you know. So why not just study Vedanta Sutra? But the problem with the Vedanta Sutra is that they are deliberately given in three or four words only, you know. So they are subject to different interpretations and so on like that. So that is what Jiva Goswami talks about that. Thus being the case that Puranas are in various modes of nature, the Matsya Purana classifies them in three divisions based on the stories found in them. But how can we determine the relative importance of the Puran so that we can then learn about the other subjects under discussion, namely Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana? So now that's what Jiva Goswami is saying. If we use the three modes of nature as the basis of characterizing the Puranas, depending on such statement as the mode of goodness produces knowledge, so he's quoting the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Sattvam Sanjayate Jnanam, Satyam Yad Brahma Darshanam. So we will conclude that the Puranas and other literature in the mode of goodness are superior means of gaining knowledge of the absolute truth. So now he is saying that instead of all 18 Puranas, why don't we just consider only those Puranas, those 6 Puranas in the mode of goodness? Alright? Then even there also is further dividing that. Because in the mode of goodness, it is called material mode of goodness. And material mode of goodness always is subject to further degradation. It is mixed by the lower modes also. Its constant cycle is going on. Goodness degrades into passion, passion degrades into ignorance, tamas, and tamas again further upgrades into sattva guna and so on like that. This constant reflex is going on, flux, you know. So that's why he's saying that even material mode of goodness is not, because these 6 Puranas in the mode of goodness, because still in the material mode goodness, so it's not a pure bhakti is mentioned. Even though these 6 Puranas do mention Lord Vishnu as the supreme deity, and yet, how do we worship Supreme Lord Vishnu? He should be worshipped with no material motives behind that. So that is only mentioned one which is in the transcendence, Shuddha Sattva Guna. And that is what Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost of this Sattva Puranas. That's the case that he's building now. So I'll just straight go to the summary. So let's move on to Prabhuji, Papa number 13. So the question here, so how do we understand the purpose of the Puranas? He made a very good case in the previous Anuchedas that compared to Vedas, Puranas we must go through that. But then he is now showing that even Puranas also not without difficulties because of this hierarchy among the Puranas based on the 3 modes of material nature. So how do we now reconcile this? So we need to understand the primary authority according to which other texts could be reconciled. So the only that Purana which should reconcile all the texts given above. No. So that is the idea here. So the 3 classes of Puranas glorify various deities and commentaries often tries to establish their own favorite among these deities supreme. Now, as I told you, the proponents of each of these Puranas, they really vehemently argue, you know, and they defend the superiority of their point. So like, people who are in the majestic Purana, they don't accept that, you know. Same with Shiva Purana, people who study Shiva Purana, very vehemently, Shaivites, they argue very, very vehemently, you know, why Lord Shiva is the supreme. And they even quote, apparently, the Shastric evidence also in support of that, you know. In the base of logic and apparently conclusive scriptural references, the material modes of goodness is best, gives rise to knowledge. So Jiva Goswami is arguing here, and he's quoting Bhagavad Gita verses also. Material mode of goodness is best, gives rise to knowledge and self-realization. And among all the 3 modes, the material mode of goodness is better. However, it is prone to contamination with the 2 lower. So material mode of goodness is also not perfect. You know, it can degrade into lower modes or it can be contaminated with the lower modes. So that is why we need the Puranas in the transcendental mode of, you know, beyond the 3 modes of material nature. And that's where the Srimad Bhagavatam comes into play. Vedanta, so there's one possible alternative is Vedanta Sutra, you know, since it was written by Vyasadeva himself. But it is ambiguous by design and subject to contradictory interpretations. Different sages did. In fact, they wrote their own Vedanta Sutras also, actually. So that is not the way to go. So then Jiva Goswami talks about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who established the Gaudiya branch of the Madhva Sampradaya. In fact, this Gaudiya philosophy, that Gaudiya, philosophy of Krishna consciousness that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established, his doctrine, actually it's part of the Madhva Sampradaya, Brahma Madhva Sampradaya, you know. And there, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not talk about Vedanta Sutra at all. In fact, he goes to Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because Srimad Bhagavatam itself is the commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So it explains you know, perfectly what Vedanta, what Vyasadeva is talking about. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established by the Gaudiya branch of the Madhva Sampradaya, he accepted Srimad Bhagavatam as a natural commentary. You know. So in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, up to Baladeva Vidyabhushana, when he came along, there were no commentaries on Vedanta Sutra actually. But then Baladeva Vidyabhushana, by his own speech master, was defeated, and he then wrote commentary on Vedanta Sutra, which is known as Govinda Bhasya. You know? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu straightway goes to Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, that's what he calls a spotless Purana. So he proposes Srimad Bhagavatam as the only very viable alternative Purana which satisfies all the necessary criteria. So what are the criteria? The last PowerPoint. The last PowerPoint probably. 14, number 14. So what do we need actually? And that's what is described. So it must be in a sattvic guna, sattvic Purana, and that also Shuddha sattvic Purana, that means transcendental. And must be explanation of all the Vedas. It must explain all the Vedas, Puranas and Itihas. Complete knowledge should be given there. And must be based on sutra, it is so. And must be available in a complete form. There's another one. Where many of the Puranas, they're incomplete. They're
hear you.
Prabhuji. Charu Prabhuji. Charu Prabhuji.
Cannot hear you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Charu Prabhuji, we just lost your voice. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Some wire got disconnected or what? Shay. Hari Bol. Must have kept his voice low. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I think we all have lost its connection. We also don't hear him.
Yeah, that's correct. I was trying to... Oh, okay, he is to be alerted in a different way. So sad.
Hello. Hello. Yeah, I think
Prabhuji, you just got disconnected. We can't hear you anymore.
Yeah, I'm sorry. How many minutes it gone like that?
I don't know. Now we can hear you. Now, as you pick up the phone, we can hear you.
Hi, Bob. Can you hear me now?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, sorry. Because I'm using two power laptops, you know, it has certain time limit, you know, then it goes off, you know.
Okay, but that last 1 minute, it is so unfortunate to miss it out. Prabhuji, if you can just reconcile again.
I'll repeat that.
Yeah.
So what I said that the Shri Jiva Goswami, you heard about those criteria, right? how Srimad Bhagavatam fulfills those criteria perfectly, those requirements, in the last PowerPoint that we discussed. If you can, PowerPoint number, did you see the PowerPoint number 14, last PowerPoint?
Yes, as we changed to last point, we lost the contact. But yes, that was going great. Now, yes.
Let's go through that again. So here, what we need is now described here, that so now it builds up the criteria that the Puranas must be in a sattvic, that must be the one, because only through the mode of goodness, saptam sanjayate jnanam sattvam yadrabhadarshanam, the real knowledge can develop only when one is in the mode of goodness. But it's not the material mode of goodness. We should have sattvic, suddha sattva guna, only because a material mode of goodness can be further contaminated with the lower modes. So it builds with a case for the transcendental mode, you know. Then this Purana must be have Vedic knowledge, Puranas and Itihas. Complete knowledge should be there. And must be based on Vedanta Sutra. And must be available in complete form. In many of the Puranas, as we saw, that great portion of it have been lost over time. And somewhere further substitution and additions took place spuriously. At a time periods, you know, unauthorized. So because of that, so in that regard, it's the Srimad Bhagavatam completely fulfills this criteria. So that fits the bill, you know. So that is what he's going to build the case now. In the subsequent sections, moving on to 19 onwards, that we'll discuss next week, then he further glorifies how Srimad Bhagavatam is the perfect means of epistemological logical validity to understand and realize the absolute truth. So that we will go through that. So that is what I really talked about that. So then I talked about the questions. So we have quite some time period, so we can see some questions. But if I cannot answer all the questions, then usually as we do it so far, please send it to me by email and I will respond that. And then I will put it on this our website to be shared by everyone. And also I try my best to discuss it in the class also, next class, you know. So let's see how many questions, major points we can discuss, you know. Hare Krishna. So while you're thinking about it, let me quickly summarize what we discussed today. So text 16 begins by showing why this 28th Vyasa is the supreme authority. What is so special about this particular Vyasa? Because Vyasas in every millennium that comes, and they all do this compilation of the Vedic knowledge. One Veda divides the four Vedas and Puranas and so on like that. Every millennium this Vyasa comes. Vyasa is just a position, it's not a name. So this 28th Vyasa is Krishna Vyasa. And this statement was made by none other than his father, Parasar Muni, who himself was the 26th Vyasa. So he says that this, my son, 28th Vyasa, is the one who actually is the empowered incarnation of Lord Narayana himself. And then we heard about it, how Gautama Rishi's curse affected. That's when all the demigods went to Kshirodaksha Vishnu, and Kshirodaksha Vishnu then promised them that I will myself come in the form of this Vyasa, you know. So that's why is the perfect and complete knowledge given by this particular Vyasa, you know. And then text 17, we saw glorification of the Puranas in general, you know. Why Puranas are complete. Vedas by themselves are not complete unless it is included in Itihas. Because Puranas and Itihas by themselves are complete, because by definition, the very means Purana, that is Purana, that means complete. So for the age of Kali, in this age of Kali, because we don't have sufficient intelligence to understand the original Vedas, that is the reason why we have these Puranas. So if we study Puranas, that completely covers all the Vedic knowledge completely in a way that we can understand properly, you know. So those people who falsely claim that we don't study Puranas and Itihas because they are meant for the less intelligent people, and they get puffed up because of their thing, and they only study Vedas. So that's where Lord Shiva actually wants that then they will not get a full spiritual knowledge, you know. And then Srila Jiva Goswami builds a case why there is a hierarchy even among the Puranas. Puranas also not completely free from the difficulties as Vedas, because there is a hierarchy. There are these 18 Puranas are divided into three piles, three groups, each six Puranas equally, based on the modes of material nature that they embody. So then Lord Shiva actually characterized those Puranas, and then I gave them in a tabular form why those six Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam is one of them, Vishnu Purana, Padma Purana, and so on, like that, they are in the mode of goodness. Whereas Brahma Purana, Brahmanda Purana, Markandeya Purana, they are in the mode of Rajaguna. And then there's Shiva Purana, Skanda Purana, and so on, like that, in the mode of ignorance, you know. So mode of goodness, that gives the complete knowledge, real knowledge. Whereas Rajaguna is the greed develops, you know. And Rajoguna, Tamoguna is the delusion, inertia develops, you know. So that's why he says that's more of goodness, should consider those Puranas only there. And even there also, then further he makes a case that it should be in the full, pure mode of goodness, not just material mode of goodness. Because material mode of goodness can degrade into lower modes. So then even the six Puranas in the mode of goodness, it's the one which is in the transcendental mode, free beyond the three modes of material nature, and this only Srimad Bhagavatam fulfills that bill, you know. So this is what we covered in today's class. I just, you know, giving it upshot of it. All right, let's see the questions here. Again, there are many questions, looks like. So Raman Krishna Prabhu, thank you Prabhuji, you're yeah, is there a list of Puranas that Srila Jiva Goswami says are with spurious? I can give one example, is Bhavishya Purana. All these different kinds of things are added, kept on adding that. I don't know either other names, but we can look it up, you know. But most of the Puranas are like that. Often I don't remember which Puranas are like that, but most of the Puranas are like that. And they are not complete either. In fact, Matsya Purana lists how many verses each Purana should contain. You know? Okay, there is Sharat Mishra Prabhu is asking a question here. Vyasa comes in each millennium. There is every Dwapar Yuga, meaning every 43.2 lakh years, and reorganizes the Puranas. See, Kali Yuga is easy way to remember is Kali Yuga is 4.32 million years. Twice of that is Dwapar Yuga, three times is Treta Yuga, and four times is Satyuga. Then there's a Sandhya period, you know. Which get corrupted. However, Bhagavad Gita is revealed in every day of Brahma. Thus, Gita, a part of Mahabharata, gets rectified every day. Thus, there is a discrepancy. How do we understand that? Yes, Bhagavad Gita gives, remember, Bhagavad Gita gives a summary of Vedic knowledge. There are those five characteristics. Gita summarizes the resolution, but doesn't go in great detail, you know. And that's why these Puranas that we need that. Gita gives definitely, it's wonderful, it gives a basic summary of the knowledge. It's the basic summary of everything. So Gita is great, you know, it gives a summary of the knowledge. But for detail, we need Puranas. In fact, Gita is also considered like Gita Upanishad, right? But it comes as a part of Mahabharata, it's a part of Itihasa. And it does indeed gives the basic summary of all Vedic knowledge. There is no discrepancy. I don't consider that's a discrepancy. It just is a summarized version. Sundar Gopinath Prabhu, Meghana Mataji, on what basis does Puranas are categorized? And who does this categorizations? And that's what the Jiva Goswami gives the reference for that, you know. One of the Puranas that is mentioned right there, I think Matsya Purana or Skanda Purana. And then even Lord Shiva is a great authority. He talks about 18 Puranas, each based on the nature. And Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. In the book, I came across that someone might question that these divisions of Purana is also mentioned. The quotation is from Matsya Purana. Matsya Purana, as I understand, is the mode of ignorance. So why Jiva Goswami quoting that? How do you understand that? You know. Gopinathan Prabhu actually argues there that even though it is given in Matsya Purana, that's one thing. And second point he makes there that generally even in the Puranas that are in the mode of passion and ignorance, all 18 Puranas to some extent it does mention about Lord Vishnu in the spring. It does mention, you know, there's a story always gives about Lord Krishna and Lord Rama, Lord Ramachandra's pastimes is mentioned because the Vyasadeva has a certain class of people in the mind actually. Some, not all of us are in the mode of goodness, some are in the mode of passion, some are in the mode of ignorance and so on like this. So even with so first we have to attract, make it, then gradually they will, as they make progress on the mode of material nature, then so yes, Lord Shiva specifies three divisions. Krishna Chandra Das, slide 2. Thereafter, during the 28th millennium, the Lord in the form of my son Vyasa, should it not be the 28th millennium of Vaivasvamani? Yeah, it is correct. I mentioned that in my one of the PowerPoint. It's the 28th millennium of the present Manvantara, that is Vaivasvata Manu. And Varasvamani came in the 26th Manvantara, in the same Vaivasvata Manu. Thank you, Krishna Prabhu. Maybe there's a typo. I'll go back again. It should be 28th millennium, not Manvantara. I'm sorry. Thank you. Makaran Prabhu, Matsya Purana indicates five characteristics, correct? Nishima Tirtha Mataji, is Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa Shakti Avesha Avatara, as you mentioned, often as empowered incarnation or simply, he is a empowered incarnation. So he is a human being, a living entity, but Lord Shiva, Narayana, so he's an empowered incarnation. So Lord Narayana invested his potencies, knowledge potency in him. Okay. Bhavana Mataji, where do we find the reference that Shiva specifies the Puranas into three divisions? I think that I don't remember. One of the PowerPoint says that one of the verses itself. I don't remember, but if you read that, I think probably Amitya, the number 17, I think mentions about that. PowerPoint number 6. Thank you, Bhakwan Prabhu. Yes, Prabhas Khanda of Skanda Purana. Thank you. Slide 8, Padma Purana also says. Thank you, Ramakrishna Prabhu. Ramakrishna, so getting back to this question, everyone accepts three divisions. Do they accept three divisions? As I told you, that these proponents of each of these Puranas, they vehemently, argue, it's their Purana is the best. They don't accept even those Puranas in the mode of Rajoguna or Tamoguna, they don't accept that, Not everyone accepts, that's true. So Jiva Goswami, based on the logic, based on the, what Sri Krishna gives, talks about in Bhagavad Gita, that's on that basis he argues. That it's the mode of goodness one gets the real knowledge. Or they think they are in goodness. And Lord Shiva makes a very clear statement there, and he classifies those statements. But what I'm saying here, that those Puranas that are already classified Lord Shiva in the lower modes of material nature, the proponents of those Puranas, they vehemently argue against that, that even though there's the Rajagun, that doesn't like I told you about my friend who is a great, great student of Devi Bhagavata, he vehemently argues with me all the time, that Devi Bhagavata, it says that Devi is the one who is the supreme among all three gods. So it's very difficult to argue with them, So Jiva Goswami does not spend time in arguing that. He just making a statement based on what is that it makes sense, And he gives various evidence from very learned Shiva and so on like that. And remember, certain statements are coming straight from Matsya Purana, Skanda Purana, they are in the mode of ignorance. So I told you that some might question, how is that those statements made in Tamoguna itself, they make the case about these things, And the answer is that it's given there, Gopi Parandan Prabhu argues that it's not just relative to those Puranas in the Rajoguna, like Matsya Purana, Skanda Purana. So it is made. I'm sorry. Sorry. So they do talk about that, Okay. Makarand Prabhu, these Puranas will appeal to people in that guna, and that will finally come to Shakti. Great. Thank you. That's what the intention is there. And that is what we do from the stage. We were also, many years back, some 30 years back, I was a great student of Shiva Purana actually. I started my devotional thing because I met a great devotee of Lord Shiva, and I was just a student. I was in a college, and I entered the college. I finished my high school at the age of 14 actually. And when I got in the first year of my college, Bhavan's College in Bombay, Mumbai, India, Andheri, there is a Shiva temple on the campus actually. So I since the Shiva temple was right on the campus, I used to visit that. And there I met this great devotee of Lord Shiva. It turns out he happened to be a brother of a great movie producer actually. That's another story. So he recommended me to read Shiva Purana. And I was a great, great admirer of Shiva Purana. Remember, I greatly admire Lord Shiva also. It turns out Lord Shiva himself is a great, great Vaishnava, greatest Vaishnava, you know. So from there, just remember, in the next 30, 25 years, our progress to be. So we all come like that, you know. So initial insight is not built into that way, you know. Only when you meet different devotees over time period, then we make progress and we realize and then we accept the truth. But beyond that, before that, we vehemently argue, you know. I was very, very strong, you know, in the classes of 20 years back, you know. Thank you, Paul. I think the time is approaching now, I think. And thank you very much for your time. You've been very, very merciful to me. Hari Bol. Dishana Veda, let's do the Vishnu prayer.
Krishna. Namaste Narasimhaya, Namaste Narasimhaya, Prahlad Ladaiyine, Hiranyakasipu Vakshaha, Hiranyakasipu Vakshaha, Shilatanka Nakalaye, Ito Narsimha Pareto Narsimho. Ito Narsimha Pareto Narsimho. Yato Yato Yami Tato Narsimha. Yato Yato Yami Tato Narsimha. Bahir Narsimho Hridaye Narsimho. Bahir Narsimho Hridaye Narsimho. Narsimhamadim Sharanam Prapade, Narsimhamadim Sharanam Prapavare, Nakam Adbudasringam Dalita Hiranyakasipu Tanubringam Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jay Jagadish Hari Jay Jagadish Hari
Jaya Jagadish Hari Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadish Hari Jaya Jagadish Hari Jaya Jagadish Hari Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Prahlad Maharaj Jaya Prahlad Maharaj Jaya Prahlad Maharaj Nitai Gaur Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Nitai Gaur Hari Bol Jaya Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupad, Prabhupad, Jaya Jaya, Prabhupad, Jaya Jaya, Gurudev, 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 Jaya Jaya, Gurudev.
Glories to the devotees, Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Dishana. Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, also. All Bhagavad Prabhupada, all Bhagavad Bhagavatam, all Bhagavad Jiva Goswami, and all Bhagavad all the assembled Vaishnavas. Please accept my humble obeisances. And thank you so much for your very precious time. Hari Bol. So I look forward to see you all next week's class. And remember, next week, I just swapped the class with Sanjay Prabhu's Srimad Bhagavatam class. So instead of I just sent a notice also. So instead of day one, day two, we'll have a day one class, all right?